The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. For the most comprehensive industry news and information, visit our website at irei.com and sign up for our free daily news alerts.
This is Mike Collins. So we are awaiting Paul Chen. He will be calling in shortly. To our listeners, welcome to Report from Asia, first of all. And Paul Chen is a lead managing consultant with Real Foundations based in Hong Kong. And Real Foundations, if you're not familiar with the organization, is a professional services firm that helps companies that develop, own, operate, service, occupy, and invest in real estate. And Paul Chen recently authored an article titled The AI Advantage, which appears in the newly minted September edition of Institutional Real Estate Asia Pacific, in which he argues that investors and managers must begin understanding the potential of artificial intelligence or risk being left behind by the competition. We're going to explore that article in a little bit more detail and talk about AI advances in the Asia region and how it applies to real estate, both in terms of selecting properties, managing portfolios, and what have you. Paul, again, will be joining us in just a few moments. Hey, Paul, are you there?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good. Hey, thank you for doing this. I told our listeners that you wrote the article titled The AI Advantage, and you made the argument that to managers and investors, you better get on board or risk having your lunch eaten by the competition.
Have you studied much about AI, or what do you know about it?
Well, I'm familiar with it. I don't have a depth of knowledge about it, but anytime I see anything about what AI, applications for AI, what it can do, and I've written some feature stories about, for instance, the edifice of the future, where, a building just replete with AI, where it's got the biometrics in there. So I would just never claim to be an expert at it by any stretch.
Yeah, actually, in the market right now, there aren't really that many experts. Most of the experts are data scientists or people that have really studied AI and machine learning and deep learning as practitioners or as managers implementing some of these technologies. But it's a really new technology right now. And, it's found a lot of applications in other industries like pharmaceuticals and law and manufacturing. And really, it's just making its headway into real estate right now. So I'm really excited to be on this podcast with you, Mike.
Well, and that's the thing about real estate. I made this point before that real estate has been a late adopter with technology in a lot of ways. And now it seems that the recognition is there. In 2014, there were 12 apps focused on commercial real estate, and today there are more than 3,000. Now, those are just apps, which is not necessarily artificial intelligence. My point being that the adoption is happening in a big way now, it seems. And one of the questions surrounding it is, I think they see the people in the business see the advantage to having AI, at least in some cases, but intellectually, if they're there. The question becomes, is it affordable?
And we'll get into that in a little bit. But what I found is that with AI right now, it's all the hype. If you look at the Gartner hype cycle, so that talks about new technologies and how it initially generates a lot of hype, and then there's the peak of the hype, and then everybody gets disappointed, and then after a while, then it starts picking up again, and it becomes more mainstream, and it truly develops more productivity for the industry. According to Gartner, right now, general AI, so like this is the stuff that you see in the movies, that's on the initial part of the hype cycle. Now, with deep learning and machine learning, right now, I think in the 2018 or 2019 hype cycle, it's right at the top. So right now, everybody's like really excited about it, and we're on the cusp of actually being disappointed with it. So we've done a lot of experimentation. There's a lot of hype around it, and according to Gartner, deep learning will really show its true innovations, its true productivity probably in the next 3 to 5 years. So we're not that far away from it.
Well, and isn't the one of the maxims of technology is that we overestimate how quickly it will come to market, and we underestimate its longer term impact. So you take something like blockchain, which everybody, and I don't know whether you would consider that artificial intelligence or not. Maybe it's more of an accounting system, but that's an example of where people are very excited about it and probably going to be disappointing in the short term because it's going to take time to insinuate itself into all these different processes that we want it to improve. But in the longer term, and longer term could be as, who knows, as little as 5 or 10 years, it could have just a tremendous impact if it lives up to its promise.
That's right. That's right. I think you hit the spot. A couple of years ago, blockchain was really exciting. It was on the cusp of innovation. And then if you look at the investments into blockchain in the past few years, probably like 3-4 years ago, there was a lot of investments into blockchain. Last year, it slowed down quite a bit. But what we're seeing is right now is that the companies that really have a true business use case or true use cases are really emerging. So we're seeing the good ones emerging, being on top of all the other ones that were mostly hype. So I think in the next few years, we're going to see a lot more blockchain applications with real applications that can benefit businesses.
So if we look at artificial intelligence right now, I mean, it can be applied in so many different ways. And so if we're looking at real estate investing and management, what does AI encompass at this point?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of actually AI applications happening in the real estate space right now, not on a massive scale, but really more on specific things. Like, for example, with building management systems, that it's able to look at a lot of the data points and predict, you know, when certain things might break down. For the customers, for instance, companies are collecting data points to predict, well, you know, what do customers want? Like, for example, on a retail space, how you can predict, say, well, what type of pop-up store should I have in this particular location to draw more foot traffic? With CapEx planning as well. We talked about that, predicting life cycle of assets, predicting cost overruns as well, where AI is trying to, where companies are trying to do more with AI right now is really around the investment side with deal sourcing, with due diligence, with identifying when you should buy and when you should sell something.
Well, so how does that work with deal sourcing? Use that as an example, because people are always looking for deals. And one of the things that happens late in the cycle is that it's just hard to find good deals. So how would you use AI for deal sourcing? What's kind of the process, or what does it do that the human being doesn't do as well?
Okay. So if you talk about the Asia context, okay. So everybody says, hey, I have a pocket listing, or I know something else that the market doesn't. I mean, a lot of the managers claim to be able to do that. But the fact is that a lot of the managers, you know, they get like maybe 10, 20, 30 deals coming across their desk on a weekly basis. And one thing that AI can do is it can sift through these opportunities a lot faster. So that's sort of like level one. I have a lot of data and I'm trying to figure out which are the best deals. If you move on to level two, you can say, okay, look, there's like two or three particular deals that's in this particular location. And so you're going to use, instead of the traditional method, okay, well, let's hire a CBRE or JLL to do a study for us to get comps and to do a market study. Well, is there additional data such as mobile data, such as a traffic patterns, customer patterns, location of stores, competition, things that you can analyze a lot faster with a computer rather than with the human brain? So this is where it's going right now. That's level two, going from traditional to non-traditional data and to be able to find patterns. I would say that level three is trying to get data that people aren't really looking at right now. So for example, there are a couple of applications right now, startups that claim to be able to detect pricing anomalies. So instead of analyzing a deal that's coming across your desk, what the machine does is it looks across the entire market and it says, okay, look, if this particular asset or this building, there's a pricing anomaly there. And what is the reason for it? Is it because it's undermanaged? Is it because of some other factor? And that allows you to hone in on that particular investment. So there's different levels in the deal sourcing space with AI.
Technologies that's really emerging right now is to be able to value a piece of real estate a lot faster than you could before. So in the traditional method, you would use the rent roll, do a discounted cash flow. But right now, there's a couple of technologies out there that tries to speed up that process tremendously by looking through the cash flow models, by looking through the comps, for instance, looking through different data points around location proximity to be able to come up with a valuation model, a valuation for that particular asset.
But we're in the beginning stages right now. And you know what I'm telling you right now, Mike, if you listen to this a year from now, they might think I'm talking silly because the market is moving so quickly.
To what extent are you seeing investment management companies adopting AI technologies? There's kind of the question is what's available? I mean, how many are really available versus getting ready to land within the market? And then there's just a question of whether, you know, how aggressively companies are moving. They really see the advantage to this and are willing to spend the money and are integrating it. What do you see?
Yeah, well, it's in the beginning stages right now. What I'm finding is that with the large pension funds, that they really have the resources and the capital and the people to be able to experiment with AI more on a mass scale. But it's in the beginning stages right now. If you look at some of the large investment managers out there, they're looking at it as well, and they're experimenting with it on a limited scale. So for example, an example that I just gave just right now, looking at deals that are coming across the desk, or even looking at deals that they passed up on, and then looking at, well, where's that property today? So then they're saying, well, what were the reasons why we passed up on that particular deal, and was it the right decision? So there's limited experimentation with investment managers right now. But what I see is that actually a lot of the initiatives are a little bit covert right now. We don't really see them. Like if you Google, you won't see any of them. And it's not because nothing's happening. I think the reason why is because a lot of companies are actually doing it internally, and they don't want other companies to know about it right now.
You mentioned AI's ability to collect and analyze data at high speed. So does this mean that, let me give you an example here from the United States, a recent podcast I did. We were talking about secondary markets in the United States. And one of the reasons a lot of investors don't go to the secondary markets is because they don't really have information. For instance, CBRE isn't doing that kind of depth of reporting, and I don't want to just single out in JLL, all of these various data providers, they concentrate on the primary cities. Secondary and tertiary markets tend to not have a whole lot of information out there. I don't know whether AI might allow them to vacuum up information from smaller markets and analyze that and suddenly expand, which I think you indicated in your article, that the expansion of the universe of potential targets. Now, maybe it's property types, maybe it's geography, maybe it's something else. What about that?
Oh, sure. We have a very similar problem here in Asia, in that there's a lot of research on, like, for example, in China and the gateway cities like Shanghai or Shenzhen or Beijing. But there's a lot less information on some of the secondary markets.
You could look across Southeast Asia as well on some of the emerging markets like Vietnam or Indonesia or Malaysia. There's less information outside of some of the major cities there. And now AI doesn't actually help you collect the data. So one really, really important thing that all listeners need to understand is that AI does not help you gather data. In fact, you need data. You need the data to be able to do anything with AI. That's a key thing. So there are companies out here that are, they use different techniques. The most basic one is scraping. So what they'll do is they'll go to different websites and then they'll scrape data and they'll try to aggregate it. Another method is, say for example, a lot of data exists in government land registries, or they have other databases. So what AI can do is, assuming that you can actually get that data, what you could do is you can use AI to try to formulate patterns and say, hey, look, maybe it's worthwhile getting into that particular market. Because we know that in the real estate industry, that if you want to be a first mover, that there's really, really high risk in there. But why is it that some of these first movers actually do it? It's because they have intimate knowledge of that particular market. They're probably physically there on site. They're probably well connected with all the governments. They're probably well connected with all the local businesses. So they decide, hey, look, I'm going to get into that particular market. But with AI, what it does is that once you have access to some of that data, that you can augment some of the intelligence of getting more knowledge, getting more information of that particular market. So to answer your question, we still have the same problems here. The biggest problem is getting the data, but with technologies now, we're able to gather data faster. We're able to look and see what some of the missing things within that data set is. We're able to identify some of the patterns in that data better than we could before. One thing I want to highlight is the multifamily market in China. That is a growing market. The government a couple of years ago said, hey, the Chinese government said a couple of years ago that real estate is for living, it's not for speculating. So in the past few years, there's been massive investments in the hundreds of millions of dollars into the multifamily space in China. This is an area where I think that AI can really, really be applied. So for example, similar to the US, where you do rent optimizations, where you understand customer preferences, the same thing can be applied in the China market. So with AI for the residential market in the US, that's something that could be directly applied to China right now. And we're finding that companies that have already invested into the space, they're really getting their basic systems, like their property management systems, their budgeting and forecasting systems in place right now. But there's been this huge, huge emphasis on CRM systems, like getting to understand the end users, the customers, and they're going to be able to, the leaders there, the ones that can understand their customer data the best are the ones that are going to be able to apply AI and to optimize their portfolio the best. And that's for the multifamily space. That's where I see the biggest opportunity in Asia right now is for AI.
So let's talk about actually effectively implementing artificial intelligence within an investment management organization and really making it pay off. Because the thing that there's always been a pushback, one of the resistance factors towards technology is that people tend to not like to learn, to do something new. They tend to push back against change in general, whether it's technological change or organizational change, you name it. So this is your business. If you've got a client that is saying, we want to implement AI, how do we best do this in a way that makes it pay?
Okay. Well, the first thing is, there's several things. First, you have to get the foundation correct. So in a lot of work that we do with companies, they say, hey, look, I want to do better business analytics. I want to have BI. I want to do something with AI. I hear that's really great.
But the reality is that a lot of these companies need to get their house in order first. And what I mean by that is some of the basic systems, like their core financials, their core operating systems. What we found is that with a lot of companies that in the market, there's still a lot of information that resides on spreadsheets, or that resides on somebody's laptop. So the first thing is to get that infrastructure in order. The second thing is, I really believe that AI needs to start from a strategic perspective. So it's really important that, you know, rather than reading the headlines on, oh, AI is coming, we should do something about it, is to really, for not only the senior executives, but also managers, to really understand what AI can do for you. So to really understand the some of the basics about the technology. So to understand, for example, what is the difference between AI, machine learning, and deep learning? What are some of the tools out there to understand that? And I think that once people start studying that, some of that fear will go away, because I'm a strong believer that AI in the real estate industry isn't really going to massively replace humans. I really believe that AI is something that will help augment our decision-making process. So the best way to get started is, you know, look and see, is your house in order? Do you have all the data in the places where they're supposed to be? Are your people ready? So get people educated on what AI can do. Start with smaller initiatives, like experiment with one particular thing first. Like you could experiment with facilities management data. You could experiment with, say, maybe due diligence data. You can experiment with, say, historical underwriting data versus your actual performance. Just little projects like that to start with. The other thing is that for a global organization, it's really, really important to find the right balance between the global needs and the local needs. So, for example, for a large global real estate organization or an investment company, what I see typically is there's a large initiative run at headquarters, and sometimes the needs and the local and the realities of the local offices are ignored. So it's really important to include the needs of the local office as well. And one thing about that is the organization. So my strong advice is, do not think that you're going to hire a data scientist, like one guy or two guys or three persons, and expect these things to work. You have to have a team in place. You have to have technical people in place. You have to have what we call translators. So translators are people that understand the technology and understand the business and can bridge the words and the requirements and the outcomes between the business and the technical people. And you have to have them not only at headquarters, but also the local office as well.
Interesting. So is AI wherever you go, or is there anything unique or maybe nuanced about AI on the Asian continent?
Oh yeah, there is. The thing is that with, unlike the US, I mean, the US is a huge domestic market. It's the number one real estate market in the world. But when you come to Asia, the biggest markets would be China or Japan. All the other markets are, well, you can say Hong Kong's up there too, but a lot of the other markets, they're, you know, they're relatively smaller. So what you have to deal with are some of the local nuances. For instance, in China, don't expect to use Google to get any kind of information, because Google is blocked. In Japan, you know, Yahoo is still really popular, and there's all these local social media channels that you can gather data off of. The other example is with China. With China, the social credit scoring system, where with AI or with their data collection, you know, they're going to be able to tell, you know, whether you're deemed a socially acceptable person, not only at the individual but also with companies as well. Like, have you complied with the laws? So with AI, you have to understand the data sets that are available and the nuances with the data sets in the different countries.
So final question, Paul. I want to give voice to the executive who might be listening who is with a smaller organization, isn't with a Brookfield or a Blackstone, doesn't have those resources, but is very current, stays up on technology and innovation and what have you, very interested in this. Does that person have an opportunity at this stage to get involved in AI? Technologies tend to be very expensive in the beginning and then drop tremendously in price. But that first mover advantage, if there is such a thing with AI, what would you say to the person who's with a modest sized organization? Is it you're just going to have to wait because this is going to be too expensive for you? While the big boys put this in place, let them make their mistakes. Let them go ahead and implement. And you know, if you're alert, you learn from them what works and what doesn't. What advice would you have for that person? Can they play yet or do they have to wait?
Sure. I think for smaller organizations, they can play. I think, you know, when I go to a lot of conferences, you know, people talk about, oh, we're developing this one particular technology that's going to give us a competitive advantage in the marketplace. I'm not a big believer in that. What I do believe is how you use that particular technology for your own organization and how you interpret that data that really gives you that particular advantage. So if we look at some of the smaller players out there, some of these guys are really good regional players, or they could be a player within a particular city. So the technology, there's not a lot of this technology out there. Like there's not like an app that says, oh, we are going to use, this is the best app in the marketplace and we have to use it. And it happens to be really expensive. That's not the case right now. A lot of these AI companies for real estate or even for non-real estate companies, they're popping up like every single day. And one thing right now is that we're at a stage where these startups or maybe a little more established companies, they would love to partner up with a company. It doesn't have to be a huge company. It could be somebody who's a regional player. It could be somebody who really believes that this technology can produce benefits for them. So we're seeing a lot of partnerships between corporates and startups and maybe even more established companies as well. So one way to play is to experiment and to partner with some of these companies and to really learn about these technologies. The second thing is I mentioned before that, you know, it's okay to make mistakes in some of these things. The most important thing is to really learn from the process. And the competitive advantage for companies is not the technology itself. It's really how you use that particular technology and how you incorporate that technology's data with your other data and how you use that data to make decisions.
Our guest again has been Paul Chen. He's lead managing consultant with the Real Foundations based in Hong Kong. Paul, thank you for taking the time. Appreciate the time and insights. And the article again appears in the September edition of Institutional Real Estate Asia Pacific. So I encourage all of you listeners to grab a copy of that. It's also available on the website, and it goes into some detail. Paul goes into some detail about what he calls the AI advantage